And now, KSCO presents Georgia. If you'd like to participate in our program today, give us a call at area code 831-479-1080. That's 479-1080. And now, KSCO presents Georgia.
Welcome back to the second hour of KSCO Presents with Georgia, and I am delighted today to have as our guest Dr. Jerome Corsi, one of my heroes, who is a best-selling author of Obama Nation. He also wrote the book, Where is the Birth Certificate? And now his latest book called Bad Samaritans, which is a book about the ACLU's relentless campaign to erase faith from the public square. He is called by some God's pit bull, and I am God's junkyard dog. Life without God is like an unsharpened pencil. It has no point. So welcome to KSCO, Dr. Corsi.
Hey, great to be with you, Georgia. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And can I first thank you for your tireless effort in trying to get to the truth about the background of our President Barack Obama birth certificate? You're just a man I greatly admire.
Well, thank you. You're very kind to say that. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Now, this new book, there is so much in this book. I highly recommend everybody go out and read the book to see what we're up against. I hope we can cover as much of the high points that you want to talk about today, Dr. Corsi, because I know our time is limited. But let's begin with the fact that the ACLU was founded in 1920, and they have been determined to pervert the First Amendment, where freedom of religion is now freedom from religion, taking God from our public square. My question is, how have we allowed this to happen?
Well, the ACLU was founded by a group of radical socialists and even communists. And from the very beginning, the inception of the organization, the group knew they had to attack Judeo-Christian beliefs and the family, the traditional family. Otherwise, the United States could never be transformed into the secular, progressive, socialist or communist state they envisioned. And the founder, Roger Baldwin, brought communists onto the board, like William Z. Foster, who wrote a book towards Soviet America, participated in the WPA, the Workers' Party of America, which was the labor union of the Communist Party of the United States. And, I found various kinds of letters and the correspondence between Roger Baldwin and the ACLU Executive Committee going back to 1925, and it was clear Baldwin was objecting. The group said this William Z. Foster was being disruptive in meetings, and he was a revolutionary wanting to advance communism. And Baldwin said, no, we'll take a stealth model. We'll appear to be supporting free speech and the civil liberties, and in the meantime, we'll over time undermine those principles by appearing to support them, which
yes.
has been the agenda of the ACLU from the very beginning.
Yeah, they pretend to fight for civil liberties, liberties, right?
Right.
That's what they cloak themselves in.
If you just hear the name, American Civil Liberties Union, you say, this has got to be a great group. They're going to fight for my civil liberties. And then if you look at what they do, you know, going back to the Scopes Monkey Trial, 1925, which I write about considerably, the whole purpose of that trial was to make creationists, people, evangelicals, look like fools.
Right.
And, the ACLU solicited for someone to break the Butler Law, Butler Act, which was in prohibited the teaching of evolution in the Tennessee schools in 1925. They found this willing suspect, John Scopes, who was a history teacher, was a high school science teacher. And the ACLU brought in Clarence Darrow from Chicago, slick atheist lawyer. If you've seen the movie Inherit the Wind, which is historically inaccurate, but it conveys what the ACLU wanted to convey. Clarence Darrow is browbeating, played by the way, Spencer Tracy, lovable Spencer Tracy playing Clarence Darrow, browbeating William Jennings Bryan, the evangelist supporting three times presidential candidate for the Democratic Party, played by Frederick March. And William Jennings Bryan, Clarence Darrow, reduces Frederick March to tears, near heart attack on the stand, trying to justify how God created heavens and earth, and this many days, that many days, by biblical references. Well, that never happened in the trial.
That's what I was going to say. That really didn't happen in the real trial.
William Jennings Bryan won the trial.
Right. But how did they spin it to have people believe that Darrow won?
It started with H.L. Mencken, who was there from the New York newspapers, who was ridiculing from the very beginning Christians. And what the movie conveys to people who haven't studied the trial is that Christian evangelicals are, you wouldn't believe in Jesus Christ unless you were stupid.
Right.
You know, unless you were not trained or not, because the smart people, the educated, the New York sophisticates, well, they knew that science and rational thinking and, you know, materialistic science was going to be the future and was the advancement through evolution. We were all going to become an advanced species. Well, it's all nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the scientific problems with the evolutionary theory is our legion, many. And yet the whole principle of the ACLU in supporting this case was what Marx said. They had to say that, you know, religion was the opiate of the people to make it look like it was, you know, out of date, the Bible's old, written 2,000 years ago, not relevant to today. And if people could be convinced of that, then atheism could be introduced and the ACLU would be along the road to transforming America from the constitutional republic we have to a form of progressive socialist or communist state.
Mm-hmm.
We are rapidly, unfortunately, becoming.
We surely are. Don't we have to go back, Dr. Corsi, to Madeline Murray O'Hare, who was the most hated woman in America at that time, because she, too, felt that religion was a crutch and that only the cripple needed crutches.
Yes, and she, I write extensively about her because she...
Yes, very interesting.
Very interesting. She, I think she was partly crazy. I
mean, insane.
Insane. She tried to take her children to Russia. In the 50s, even Russia sent her home. They said, we don't want you. Get
right.
out of here.
Mm-hmm.
She came back and, with her son William Murray, began challenging prayer in the schools and succeeded. Famous atheist. She was on the radio all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely outrageous woman. Said the most outrageous thing. Bill Murray converted, came to Jesus.
I love it. I love the way you tell this story.
In 1970, he converted on Mother's Day. Mother's Day. And Bill Murray today in Washington, D.C., heads the Religious Freedom Coalition, which is one of the largest groups spreading the gospel around the world. And Bill Murray read my book and endorsed it, which I was very pleased. And he said, my analysis of the case to remove prayer from the schools, in which his atheist mother, Madeline Murray O'Hare, was involved. He said it's precise and it demonstrates the use of the American courts to destroy America's civil foundation.
Mm-hmm.
So Bill Murray has, you know, really changed entirely and repudiated the part of his life. He wrote a book, which I also quote in Writing Bad Samaritans. Bill Murray wrote a book called My Life Without God, which is a very remarkable read.
Yeah, his journey from darkness into light.
And it shows you just, you know, what kind of emptiness and darkness fills the soul of someone who decides to be an atheist.
Right. Well, the good news is she died a terrible death. A very disgruntled employee kidnapped her along with her other son, Garth, and granddaughter, and chopped them up, killed them, and buried them.
That's right. Burned their bodies.
Yeah.
I mean,
unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Well, she finally ran into someone who's a bigger con man than she was.
Right. Well, Dr. Corsi, we can't talk about this without talking about abortion and Margaret Sanger, another radical eugenicist. Can we talk about her a little bit and what she has tried to do to the African-American population? It's very interesting.
I write about it at length.
Yes, you do.
And Margaret Sanger, for people who don't know, was a eugenicist.
Mm-hmm.
She created Planned Parenthood, and like eugenicist, she was essentially in agreement with Hitler. Her whole purpose with this Planned Parenthood is why so many of the Planned Parenthoods even today are in the African-American communities. She believed that she could, through birth control clinics in black areas, she could cause African-Americans to kill their babies, create genocide among African-Americans by their own self-decision to kill their own babies. She created the Negro Project in 1939 with Planned Parenthood, and it had that purpose and still does today. I quote various people in the book who, you know, Pastor Reverend Jesse Lee Peterson, who clearly sees this and said the, you know, the truth is that Margaret Sanger is responsible for creating a genocide among blacks. The abortion rates in the black community are astounding.
They are. 1,876 a day. Babies are aborted. African-American babies are aborted. That is astounding.
It is. I mean, I give the numbers in the book and say that, you know, the African-American population would be about half a bit, again, as big as it is today.
Yes.
If we hadn't had this abortion attempt going on and succeeding. And what frightens me is that the attack on the family, the ACLU has led, is now spreading into the white community. We're getting an increasing number of abortions in the white community, increasing number of births out of wedlock. We're getting teenage pregnancies. And it stems back to this godless attack that, you know, we can kill babies, kill fetuses because they're not human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And it's against God's law, and it's a downward cycle that violates the Judeo-Christian tradition. But it has been central to the ACLU to argue Roe v. Wade and other cases. Now, the ACLU is in court arguing for same-sex marriage, arguing against the Defense of Marriage Act, DOMA, which was passed in 1996. And I cite in the book where the ACLU is even now supporting pedophilia.
Oh, NAMBLA. Let's talk NAMBLA. About NAMBLA.
Right. I show
That's unbelievable.
Say it isn't so.
No. North American Man-Boy Love Association. Why don't you talk about that, Dr. Corsi?
Well, it was the case I cite was a 1997 murder of a 10-year-old child,
mm-hmm.
Jeffrey Curley.
Right. Cambridge, Mass.
And
mm-hmm.
There were two pedophiles who killed this boy, abducted him and killed him. He was playing outside his home. They lured him into his vehicle with the promise of a new bicycle, sexually abused him and killed him. And these two pedophiles are now serving life sentences for murder in prison. But during the case, the ACLU of Massachusetts entered on the side of NAMBLA, which is the North American Man-Boy Love Association. And the ACLU said NAMBLA had its right to publish the literature these two guys had in their car, which are publications like the Survival Manual, The Man's Guide to Staying Alive in Man-Boy Sexual Relations.
Oh, my God.
Which is teaches men how to find boys for sex and to avoid criminal prosecution.
Mm. Don't they even have a website, sir, at Columbia University called Go Ask Alice?
Yes, they do. I cite that, too.
Yeah, unbelievable what that website says.
Well, it's I don't even want to discuss it on the air.
I know. But this is happening, Dr. Corsi, in our country. I don't know.
I went back and I researched and wrote in the book that it starts, there's been a campaign since the 1950s to desensitize America to gay sex, to, you know, the two gay activists, Marshall Kirk and Hunter Madsen, wrote this book, After the Ball, How America Will Conquer Its Fear and Hatred of Gays in the 1990s. And their argument was that, you know, that they wanted to present gays as sensitive men,
mm-hmm.
make them look good, Anybody who opposed them was a victimizer.
Yep.
Do television shows like Will and Grace and desensitize Americans to, it's just these two men who love each other. What's wrong with that?
Mm-hmm.
And now I think the same thing is starting with pedophilia. And I don't know how many years it will take, but again, a campaign I'm sure is going to be concocted and raised. I mean, in the ancient world, we can go back to paganism if we want to. That's where we're headed. The ancient world, I'll show you literature that, you know, says that it's part of a boy's education to be seduced by a man.
Hmm. My gosh.
You know, that this desensitizing, see, this is where I say the, I'm warning people in Bad Samaritans that this is a conscious plan that, you know, the Judeo-Christian tradition, sex is a miracle from God. It's the grace of God to create life, a man and woman to create life, with the assumption and responsibility that once that life is created, the man and woman will raise that child in a godly fashion. Now, if we separate and say, no, sex doesn't have to do with procreation, it's just fun. And besides, the community will raise the child. We don't want the parents raising the child.
Hmm.
You know, this is, which is where the socialists are. I mean, even Hillary Clinton's writing books, It Takes a Village.
Sure. That was the beginning of that thought.
And desensitizing
mm-hmm.
people. This is the community's child, not yours. And you know, then we're headed, where do we stop? I mean, if,
bestiality, necrophilia, where are they going with this, Dr. Corsi?
They're going the same way the ancient world went, and they'll end up in the same place.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I say we're headed down the path of seeing sexual licentiousness such as it has not been experienced since the antiquity of ancient Rome. And anybody who wants to read that, there's plenty of literature what that looked like.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a horrible, godless, wretched place to live. And but yet it was filled with, you know, licentiousness. And this idea, well, if it doesn't bother anybody, you know, two consenting adults, they don't bother anybody, you know, what's wrong? Just ignore them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, God's law doesn't say ignore them. God's law says that, in fact, you know, there are a set of behaviors that are conducive to salvation and moral living. It's what Thomas Jefferson meant when he said these rights that we have are inalienable. They're put into you to each human being by God. And they're there such that you recognize that there's God and want to express faith in God. And these are not made up or arbitrary. They're not, you know, the relativistic values of, well, these people have just different values. They, same sex and all these other things, they're just different values. Well, what I'm concerned about, and I'm warning people, the ACLU has now gotten God out of the public square. You can't have a nativity scene at Christmas time. They've gotten God out of the schools. Teacher can't put a Bible on a desk in a public school, even if that's for personal prayer. And the next thing is to attack God in the churches. So once you get a constitutional amendment that says same-sex marriage is constitutionally protected, then the ACLU will be in the churches suing and trying to indict and imprison the ministers who dare speak against or preach against homosexuality on a scriptural basis.
Thank you for bringing that out, because that was going to be my next question. What will that law really do to the churches and the pastors with these hate crimes they're going to be accused of? What that will do to us is really quite terrible and very serious.
It is coming, and the churches will then also be faced with the loss of any tax favors.
Mm-hmm.
Already the Boy Scouts are being sued. The ACLU is pursuing them because they won't allow gay scout masters, and their tax-exempt status is going to be threatened.
Mm-hmm.
And the left is not tolerant.
No.
There's no freedom of religion in the left. You know, it's absence of religion.
Yeah, that's what they want. Now, what's really worrisome, Dr. Corsi, is how well-funded the ACLU is by people like Peter Lewis, the billionaire who started Progressive Insurance. And I suggest anybody out there that has that insurance, I'd drop it. George Soros, another billionaire. They're very good friends, huge supporters of the ACLU. So we're fighting a very, very big group here. Now, I know we do have the ADF, the Alliance Defending Freedom Group. They're not as well funded. What can we do to help?
Well, I think, first of all, we've got to realize how serious this is. That,
mm-hmm.
You know, there's many of these groups. There's American Center for Law and Justice, Pacific Justice Institute, Liberty Institute. I discuss them. But
yes.
The point I'm going to make is that we're on the edge of, if Obamacare comes down and the Catholic Church has got to provide insurance, to health insurance to employees that provides for abortion, for contraceptives, including the morning after pill. The Catholic Church may just decide to close all parochial schools, all Catholic hospitals, and all Catholic charities in America.
Hmm.
And the ACLU and the secular lobby will applaud the abandoning of America by the Catholic Church.
My God.
Now,
that is frightening.
And it'll be only the beginning. I fear for how many congregations are going to say, oh, well, we'll just accept gays. You know, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the point is, we are facing, even within churches today, a weakening of the message of the Bible. You know, in the mega churches, I've listened to them, and I wonder where in the Bible it says that, you know, if you believe the word of Jesus Christ, you're going to make $1 million. I can't find that anywhere in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't promise you any material reward.
No.
But yet we have the message being conveyed that, you know, this is the way to success, is to believe in Jesus Christ. Well, that's not a biblical. If we can get that biblical message, well, let's just have the gays, as long as it's just this one thing they disagree with us on. You know, they agree with us and all the other. Well, they don't agree with us and all the other.
Yeah.
A radical sexual agenda has always been a way to break down a community. Now, what I fear is that, you know, the last chapter in the book, I come to the conclusion God's fights back. God's going to fight back.
Thank God. I love your last chapter.
I mean, I'm not,
yeah. You're not
the greatest
mm-hmm.
biblical scholar in the world. There's many people out there who have spent decades studying the Bible, and I have not. But in my simple reading of the Bible, I can't find any people that have poked their fingers in God's eyes.
That have survived.
Turned their back on God. God says, oh, that's just okay with
mm-hmm.
me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and here
I think
we are.
We're at a tipping point.
Well, I watch, see the Boston Marathon bombing. And you know, I'm delighted President Obama went to a prayer service. But I have to be thinking, watching that prayer service, that God's, where have you people been?
Mm-hmm.
You won't let them pray to me in the public square. You won't let them pray to me in the public school, even a five-year-old child. Now you get a disaster. You're in your on your knees. You know,
yeah,
doesn't mean anything unless you're coming back to the Word of God. No, this is just these people are just praying so it doesn't happen again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's not the message. That's not the that's throughout the Bible. I'm completely confident God, in the final analysis, wins, that our founding fathers were right. These are not just trivial political questions we're talking about. These are inalienable rights in the heart of human beings. And we're at the edge of seeing, in the United States of America, Christianity being persecuted. Because the next thing they'll declare is the Bible itself a hate crime book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they want complete control. They want complete control, so the state becomes your God, your father, your husband, your everything.
And people listening to us may think that we've gone off the deep end, but just read the book and read the cases,
mm-hmm.
and understand that this is not a casual battle that we can afford to lose.
No, but you know what's interesting in your book is all those cases that you do write about. And what's interesting to me, Dr. Corsi, is why is the ACLU so protective of the Muslims? Or for instance, the case about the woman who won her right to walk into a courtroom with a burqa. And yet you can't have a Star of David there, a crucifix, the Ten Commandments, nothing that would offend her. But she won the right on religious basis to put on her burqa.
Yeah. What the ACLU hates is the Judeo-Christian tradition.
Excuse me, I meant the her hijab, which is the head covering, not the burqa. I'm sorry. Yeah.
The ACLU hates the Judeo-Christian tradition, and binding to Islam is, I think, on the principle that the enemy of my enemy is my friend. The ACLU sees supporting Islam in cases where the ACLU would never support Christians or Jews as a way to use a club against Christians and Jews. Now, I mean, my idea of the First Amendment is all religions can participate, and I would expect Islam would participate, and to participate, I expect Islam would be a tolerant religion.
Exactly.
But the point is, the ACLU is not pursuing it that way. The ACLU is pursuing Islamic rights to the exclusion of Jewish rights. And this is counter to the First Amendment, even though it appears suddenly that the ACLU is supporting religious freedom. It's not. It's supporting a type of religious freedom the ACLU knows is a club against Christians and Jews.
Mm-hmm.
But the First Amendment doesn't say, you know, you can ban a religious practice if it's offensive to some. But Sharia law will do just that. It will push out all other forms of law. Now, Sharia law can be, you know, fine in a certain capacity, but not to supersede the laws of the nation. And this is the path we're headed down, supporting hypocritically Islam by the ACLU in contexts where the ACLU would not support Christians and Jews. And we're getting to the point where to express Christianity or Judaism, we're going to have to essentially read the Bible in our closets with a flashlight.
Mm.
And not, because as soon as we even profess it to our children, if the Bible is, unless we're willing to say, well, now, but children, this part here about same-sex marriage, don't listen to what the Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
This part here, don't listen to that. And, you know, I mean, the idea of attacking not only the First Amendment was written so we have free expression of religion, not just believe, not just worship. You know, I hear Obama saying you got freedom of worship, meaning you can worship God privately. That's not what the First Amendment is about.
No.
It's about worshiping God and proclaiming God in public.
Right. Well, Dr. Corsi, what disturbs me is the statistics of our young people. By the time they leave college, 50% of them, or 80% in some cases, whether they attend Harvard or these Ivy League schools, have left their faith. So they've really done a job on our kids, indoctrinating them from a very young age about all of this.
Well, I agree, and I see it. And it's, you know, the problem is, you can put God out of your life. I say talking to an atheist is like talking, if you could talk to a dog, it'd be talking to a dog about colors. You know, the dogs don't see colors. Atheists don't experience God. Well, if you take God out of a human being's life, you've got a very empty shell.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
The experience historically is that societies which abandon God do lose their freedom very quickly. And the life of the people that you live is a miserable life.
Yeah. You just have to wonder why people can't see that, why they don't see that. Just look at history. Look at places where this has occurred in history, and you see the results of what that brings to a civilization. It's I don't understand why people are so willing to go along to get along, I guess.
I think we've got to go back to using some of the techniques. We've got to go back to telling the story, marketing the story. I mean, I say, for instance, I'm discussing abortion. We've got to use the opportunities. Like Ronald Reagan said, let's start talking about personhood so that you realize that the fetus in the womb is a human being. We've got sonograms. We've got pictures now. A fetus is developing. Cases like this horrible butcher abortionist in Philadelphia.
Oh, my God.
Let's, you know, the media doesn't want to show up Because the media doesn't want to tell people what abortion mm-hmm. is.
Especially let's the late-term abortions.
Let's proclaim what it is.
Mm-hmm.
The babies that this monster abortionist is saying, well, just because the child survived a late-term abortion and moved out of the womb, well, that doesn't mean it's alive.
Oh, my God.
Barack Obama, I argued this in Obama Nation. I went on Hannity and Combs ridiculed me for this. Barack Obama stood on the floor of the state Senate in Illinois. There was a case of a baby who survived a late-term abortion. And the nurse, Jill Stanek, now writing, found the baby discarded in a linen closet and held the baby until it died.
Yeah. I talked about that on my show one day, Dr. Corsi.
Yeah, Barack Obama went to the floor of the state Senate and said the baby should have been killed. Because even though it survived a late-term abortion, the mother wanted it to be aborted, and the mother had an absolute right to abort the child. To me, that's just... And Alan
barbaric.
Alan Combs said, well, you're saying Barack Obama supports infanticide? And I said, in this instance, yes.
Yeah. Well, he's a very pro-abortion president. The most pro-abortion president ever in our history.
Well, if we've got to incite and get into the minds of our young people, what life is about and what gift we've been given to create life and the preciousness of it, and we've got to let them see these as human beings. We have to do this as Christians, not only in the pulpits of the churches, but on television and movies and the way we live, and communicate these messages. Let's show them the stories of what abortions are, what happens to women who go through abortion. You'll never leave that child.
Mm-hmm.
You abort it. You don't just throw it away and flush it down.
It just gives me the chills.
Well, if we can communicate those images powerfully, so enough Americans, enough young people understand that the message of God is not, you know, about piety. It's about the reality of living. And we've got to get so people understand that, you know, you're not going to walk out of life with a solution where you live forever. People live like they're going to live forever.
Mm-hmm.
That their actions have no consequence.
Right. And when we lose the respect for human life, we have nowhere to go but down. There's nowhere to go but down.
The abortion is one, and then, you know, getting back to the whole, this is why the two attacks are on God and the family. Because in the Christian, Judeo-Christian tradition, one God, God's law, way to live morally, and the family based upon sex and procreation and the raising of children. If we lose those values, as simple as they are, then we've lost everything.
That's right. Well, Dr. Corsi, I know that you can't stay with us for the full hour, but I just want to thank you so very much for being here today. The book is called Bad Samaritans, and I really recommend it so that you can learn the seriousness of what we're facing. I want to wish you very good luck on the book, and I look forward to hearing a lot more from you, sir.
Well,
you're a great American and a great human being.
It's available everywhere, and I wrote it. I think it may be the most important book I've ever written.
Yes, it is a fantastic book.
And I want people to be able to see it and read it, because I think if you've got to get into the details of the cases. You've got to understand the ACLU strategy. We can't beat the ACLU if we don't understand the strategy.
Oh, it's beautifully written, beautifully laid out, and I really do recommend you all pick it up and read it. I wish you the best of luck, sir, and God bless you.
Well, God bless you, and God bless the audience.
Thank you for being here today.
Thank you.
Okay, so, Sam, we're way past our break.
Yeah,
sorry,
we kind of blew by that one.
I didn't want to let him go. We will take, can we do a double break?
No.
Or how can we do it? Take a break. If anybody wants to call in and respond to what you've just heard, I'd love to hear from you, 831-479-1080, but we will go ahead and take a break, and we'll be right back.
A lot of good things happened when World War II ended, and one of them happened right here in Santa Cruz when Colonel Frank Trowbridge purchased Palace Art and Office Supply. Hello, I'm Roy Trowbridge. The Trowbridge family has been working hard ever since to serve the art and office supply needs of Santa Cruz County. And this month, Palace is celebrating its 64th anniversary with a huge When I'm 64 sale. That includes a try it, make it, and take it table. Shannon, fill us in on the details.
It's really simple, Roy. The Try It, Make It, and Take It table is a free event every Saturday, midday, at the Capitola store. Palace supplies all the materials. Friendly, creative staff provide the instruction, and you provide the hands and talent. Every Saturday is always something different, so try it, make it, and take it.
Palace Art and Office Supply is 64, and that is a once-in-a-lifetime event, so we're doing everything we can to keep you happy with a giant When I'm 64 sale. Stop by Palace, Santa Cruz, and Capitola stores and get in on the fun and all the great deals.
If something can be done well and it can be kept simple, then it is the best it can be, and that's exactly what you'll get with the new CC Radio EP. This is Bob from C. Crane, and the CC Radio EP simplifies AM and FM radio listening. Its performance is just as good as our finest radio, but it has no clock or alarm to set. It has needle and dial tuning, so all you have to do is turn it on and tune in your favorite station. Needle and dial tuning puts you in control of the radio, so you get the station just the way you like it. The audio with the large speaker can be crafted with a bass and treble knob. It even has voice tone control to help clarify each word. The CC Radio EP has simple, high performance. It is affordable. It sure brings the joy of listening to radio.
To order the new CC Radio EP, please give us a call at 800-522-8863. That number again is 800-522-8863, or visit us online at ccradio.com.
Hi, I'm Pamela Fugit-Hetrick, host of the Money Move Show. As Buzz Lightyear would say in Toy Story, to infinity and beyond. That's where our federal spending limits are going. What is going on with your personal finances? We all need skills to control our personal finances, and that's why you should listen to my show, Money Moves, Thursday nights at 7 p.m. Money Moves is dedicated to provide tips and tools to help you manage your own money. This is a good time to take stock of your financial situation and find the information you need to make 2013 your best year yet. Join me for Money Moves on Thursdays from 7 to 8 p.m. here on KSCO AM 1080. Thursday nights, 7 p.m. for Money Moves. Remember, that's Thursday nights, 7 p.m. for Money Moves.
Welcome back, everybody. We just concluded our interview with Dr. Jerome Corsi, the author of the new book, Bad Samaritans. And we've got a caller, Roy, from Watsonville. Let's see what Roy has to say about it. Hi, Roy.
Hi, Georgia. Thanks for taking my call. And I called about the Bostonian situation, but I'll just comment on Jerome Corsi's courageous. He's courageous and prescient coming out with this book at the time, especially with the trial of this Gospel butcher in back east, and it is amazing that and I there's a great website called Black Genocide.
Called what?
BlackGenocide.com. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's a pastor, a black pastor, that put it up, but it tells the story of what abortion, so-called elective abortion, has done to the black community. It's horrendous. There would be 50%. You know, half again as many more black Americans among us for abortion.
Now, there would be 63 million instead of 42 million had all those 16 million lived.
And I've heard bigots, stone-hearted bigots, say, oh, that's good. We don't need more blacks. But that's how people get when the Judeo-Christian ethic of being made in God's image and likeness is removed from society. This is what you get.
Mm-hmm.
You get dead babies. And if the most defenseless among us in the womb are not safe, nobody's safe. And I'll go so far as to say that Obama's got a satanic spirit with him. and this tension to see little babies dead.
Oh,
and that's all it is.
It's unbelievable.
Spirit. And I, you know, tell me, whoever's out there disagrees with me, correct me where I'm wrong in this estimation.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, the other thing I wanted to bring up from earlier was on all these stories about these two brothers from the Chechnyan region, because I know they're not exactly from Chechnya.
Mm-hmm.
Where did these guys get the money to travel back and forth?
Yeah.
Between here and the Asian continent. I'd mm-hmm. love to know. Does
and
anybody
where,
have a clue?
Where did they get money to buy Mercedes and the clothing and all the toys that they seem to have? Where do starving students find that kind of money?
What a joke.
Yeah.
I'd like to know. We're not getting the whole story.
No.
And I hope people keep pounding away. And there's a few brave journalists out there that are going to pound away on this.
Mm-hmm.
I hope and pray that people don't just roll over with the latest, government story.
Right.
I hate to say it, but our government has become extremely untrustworthy in this regard. And I'd like to know more. Why was there a drill going on, which they denied at first? Now they've admitted to it.
Yes.
And how much skullduggery can go awry when you're running a quote-unquote drill?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how did these guys that were there from the National Guard, the CST unit, how come they couldn't find these culprits and these bombs? They were right there.
I know.
All the photographs placed them right around the whole area. So.
And how do you feel about the Saudi the guy that they...
Oh,
how,
right.
What is your thing?
Hold him indefinitely. He's
I
not
think
a citizen.
So.
He's not entitled to constitutional rights.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Baloney. To that caller from Gustine?
Yeah.
What a bunch of baloney.
Yeah.
He's a foreign national.
Right.
And if he's here having committed crime,
he should be.
We need to hold him.
Mm-hmm.
Not to be tortured or put in duress. Yes, he should be held until
right.
we find out what was he doing here and if he had anything to do with it. Of course. You don't just turn him loose.
Like we did in Benghazi. Like we did with the guy in Benghazi. That went back to Tunisia before we were able to find out if he knew anything about what had occurred there. He disappeared in the night.
Yeah, maybe he knew too much. Were we extending him U.S. constitutional rights in Tunisia, in Libya?
Yeah.
I don't know. It never made sense to me why we have to extend U.S. hard-fought constitutional rights to non-U.S. citizens.
Mm-hmm.
So... Anyway, that's my opinion on it, and I know there's a lot of moving targets with this story, and maybe he's completely innocent. And if he is, that will come out. But my gosh, don't just turn him loose.
Yeah. Well, don't you feel that we should have questioned this young man that is still alive as a combatant so that we could have at least found out as much information before we Mirandized him?
Yeah, I know there's that. What did they say? There was the public harm provision that allows a 48-hour... time to interrogate him prior to Mirandizing.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that, but at the same time, yeah, quote unquote, he's a U.S. citizen, I guess. Was he a resident alien or was he a bona fide? Did he have U.S. citizenship?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if he has U.S. citizenship, we've got to extend rights according to the Constitution to him.
Well, I heard something the other day about FDR, who tried and executed an American citizen who was tied to the Nazis, and he did it in 3 weeks with the Department of Justice in complete secret hearing. So it has been done in our history, and you can check that out. That was Franklin Delano Roosevelt. So I guess we can do that when it's convenient and in secret, and yet today we're so politically correct, we can't seem to do anything, Rory.
Right. You know, and I understand that, but on the other hand, I hold the U.S. Constitution is the highest authority in our land, above the president, above Congress, and I want to be as strict as an adherent to that as possible and hold our elected officials' feet to the fire every which way with regards to the Constitution. And if that means Mirandizing this young man, fine. You know,
and then
let's gather the evidence and go from there. But the last thing I want to do is subvert the highest law in the land, which everybody seems to swear an allegiance to.
Right. But don't you feel that it's being compromised daily now, our constitutional rights? Look at the Second Amendment thing. Why are we even having this talk?
It's all based on emotion. I'll give you an example. They just had this news article at the top of the hour about, was it Glenn Campbell? Who's the singer that's got Alzheimer's?
Is it Glenn Campbell? Yeah, I think he does have Alzheimer's.
Yeah, and his daughter testified before Congress on the Obama's plan to give $100 million towards Alzheimer's research. And she's like crying. It's like, you know what? Hey, I'm sorry your dad's got Alzheimer's. You know, maybe you should have changed his diet. Maybe there's something else going on. But why are you, why is CBS doing this emotional heartstring baloney?
Mm-hmm.
We've become such squishy, emotionally driven people. I feel like they're trying to stampede us.
Well,
and no, the last thing we need to do is spend more money on some ephemeral ghost of Alzheimer's, which is, I believe, being brought on by poor diet.
Mm-hmm.
It's the lack of nutrients in the diet that's making these people's brains go soft. Okay,
yeah.
So anyway, that's just my humble opinion. And I am a U.S. citizen. I'm a taxpayer, and I have an opinion, and I have a right to state my opinion. That's the other thing, to try to treat us like children.
Right.
This whole thing of, you know, lockdown in Boston. They didn't do that in L.A. when Dorner was on.
I know. Wasn't that amazing?
And then it was a Boston citizen that came outside and saw the blood on his boat. What if he'd done that like 6 hours earlier and then been in this, okay, children, go in your house. Don't come out. The stormtroopers are going to go all over the streets, and you can't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Not a bunch of baloney.
And those people didn't even have guns to protect themselves.
One last comment.
Mm-hmm.
NAMBLA better never open up a club in Watsonville.
Oh, boy.
Anywhere.
Aren't they despicable?
Me.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. They might be able to pull it off in certain parts of San Francisco. God help them if they come down here.
Well, the fact that you can go on that website and get all that information, Rory, is very disturbing, because look how many kids are going on the Internet today.
It's ancient debauchery. It's Greco-Roman man, boy,
it is
debauchery. And Christianity made that what it is today, which is very shameful.
Yes.
And God help us if people lose the shame about that sin.
Yeah.
Okay,
thanks, Troy.
Thanks,
I mean, Rory. Thank you. Okay, very quickly, we've got Whitney and Santa Cruz. Very quickly, I've got like 10 seconds.
Georgia.
Yes.
This is Whitney. I got an email the other day, yesterday, from a friend who said there's going to be another drill in L.A. at a nuclear power plant on the 29th.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, another drill done by the you-know-who. So
mm-hmm.
You might pass.
Thank you for that information, Whitney. We are so close to the top of the hour. That's our show for today. I want to thank you for being with me. Thank you, Sam. We are at a tipping point, people, so let's find a way to make a difference. The hour is late, but the battle is not lost. So God bless you all. See you next time. You've been listening to KSCO 1080 AM here in Santa Cruz, California. Mm-hmm.